Blog Talk Radio.
We doing that. Thanks to our Father above for looking out for us, because we know it's nothing we do. It's all He do, does, and going to. Y'all talking about? All right, yep, all right. Indeed. Hey, y'all. Another Tuesday's edition of Kills Corner. I got my host with the most, the co-host best in the land, Miss Lady T. How you be, baby?
Hey, what's going on? I miss everybody.
Yeah, man. I know, Trish, some weekends it feels like, okay, we really not there with one another, but everything is all right. And then other weekends it just feels like, man, I can't wait to get on the corner, man. I can't wait to talk about this on the corner. We all know, y'all. Hey, look, and I'm not going to flip out. I'm not going to lose it. I ain't going to lose control at all. I refuse to talk about my Washington football team, but I'm trying to tell you all. People, attention. Man, that Washington football team had me feeling some type of way this weekend, for real, y'all. I'm trying to tell you, man. It was like, you know what? I'm going to just stay in the house. You know why? Right now, my attitude ain't suitable for the public. So I'm going to just stay in the house for real. You know? Sometimes you gotta do that.
Yeah.
Put yourself on restriction or punishment. Yeah. There we go. Brothers needed a timeout. That's all.
What
about this? Yeah.
Hey, I was on the same couch you was on crying. So hey.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I wasn't crying too bad because, you know, we working with backup slash starter. So, we know what our problems are. We'll get to it when we get to it. But nevertheless, I still was on the couch with him.
No doubt. And I will say I did enjoy the football this weekend. It was just with my team, I was disgusted.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say that if I may. You know, but the overall product was kind of good this weekend. I can't even lie. And then I'm gonna tell you, this when you know, this when the sports gods are messing with you, man. You say, okay, football wasn't what I wanted. Well, it started with college football, and I knew in my minds of mine, that Maryland really wasn't going to handle Michigan all like that, you know. In comparison, you know, Maryland is not the team, the organization, or the franchise that Michigan is, with Harbaugh over there. But I will say Merlin made it a real game with these dudes and did the thing. So, you know, but you know, the losing started there, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I was just like, man, you know, I'm bored. Is this the weekend I'm in for? You know what I mean? Is this
okay.
going to be my sports weekend? And then I watched the NFL. I told you guys what happened there with my Washington football team, as I'm pretty sure you all saw. Then I tried to go baseball.
I'm not
going to say the game itself wasn't good or wasn't, you know, everything it was cracked up to be, but I could have done without it. I'll just say that. Listen, for real, please, because I don't even remember who was playing. It was like the statement to me. When you're seeing red, red is all you see. And it was just like, that's all I saw was red. You know what I mean? So it was just a crazy sports kind of weekend for me. How about you, sis? How did yours go? Please tell me yours went better.
Actually, it did because, you know, I watched some really good baseball first. Because I was, I was doing picture in picture because, you know, I don't got a whole, you know, we ain't got 99,000 TVs. So we did picture in picture on two TVs so we can watch four different things. And it was good watching, like, football, and then I can just glance over a little bit and watch some baseball because baseball going to be, it comes on every day now around 3:30. You know, so baseball is it'll be on. It's on now. You know what I'm saying? So it's just good baseball, like, right now. It's really good baseball because they had a couple of walk-off grand slams last night. But you know what? Ever since Aaron Judge got that – oh, we'll talk about that. But ever since he got it, the 60 home run, he gone cold. He cold.
Yeah.
He ain't hitting nothing.
Yeah. It's like.
But he still had good games. It was still some good games.
Yeah. But to add to your point, it's like now the expectations and the rumors and the whispers are there.
Yeah.
It's like every time he comes up to bat, everybody is in utter silence. And he's getting hit. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the expected results, I'll say. The results are just not expected. So, you know, hey,
exactly.
Man, it's the second half of baseball, you know, and he still has time to catch those records and surpass them. You know, so we're going to still have faith in Judge. Maybe, you know what, you know I'm always thinking, it's a conspiracy, right? Maybe somebody done told them, bruh, they going to urine test, I don't know. they going to go from the urine straight to the blood on you, bruh. You know what I mean? They going to go straight. You shattering the records of Babe Ruth and Roger Maris in one season? Oh, nah.
Yeah.
Nah. We got to pee that baby. We got to pee him ASAP.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, well, that's good, Trish. I'm glad that you were able. You should have called me and told me, turn this up,
sir.
Man. Get that
no,
mess
sir.
Off your mind, man. You know what
no,
I mean?
Sir.
Why not?
No, thank you.
Why not?
Listen, I learned my lesson from calling you when your team is not doing well. I don't call you if you're behind. I don't call you if, like, y'all messed up a big play. I don't call you.
Yeah.
I'm definitely ain't going to call you if y'all lose. That's not, I'll give it a few hours, and then I'll call and check on you. But I'm not nowhere near calling to talk or nothing. I'm just letting you vent. I'm just here to listen. And then I hang my phone up, and I say, dang, bruh, gone again.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that because I'll be the first to admit I'm not the most conversational person after a loss, especially a stupid loss. You know what I mean?
Let me
say that. A stupid loss gets me into a stupid mood. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm talking about, why you ain't peeling the damn potatoes before you put them in?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Everything irritates you. Why you breathing all hard?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Why you keep glancing over here at me?
Exactly.
Oh, that.
Right.
That kale. So, you know. But I was okay. I was all right. You know, gave myself a little bit of time, you know. Her breathing ain't bothering me again. Anyway, on today's episode of Kale Corner, we will be discussing the MLB division leaders, y'all. It's coming down. It's coming down to that wide, you know. And it seems like September, I'm serious, man. September was on crack, you know. Because all I remember is flipping my little calendar to September, and now we're about to hit the 30th. You know what I'm saying? It's like, where did all those days go? So, you know, we get ready to get into some October baseball, y'all. The point that we were all talking about back in June and July and August. Yeah, we're about to hit October, man. About to hit October. So we're going to discuss that. And if the teams that you were hoping for, wishing for, or rooting for back then, are they still doing the thing to make you say, you know, to have your confidence in them, or have they fallen off? You know, we'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at the NBA's top 10 centers, and power forwards. I'm telling y'all, the centers list is pretty amazing and kind of confusing. And the power forward list as well. And we're going to start our football thing off. And Lady T will reveal her week three winner. Who won in week three? I'm going to tell y'all right now, DMV Kale won. But, Lady T.
What?
Is going to Lady T will be telling everyone who how DMV Kale took week three. Yeah.
That's right, bro. And keep that confidence up.
Yeah, I'm talking about, and we're going to discuss all that week three in the NFL was surprises, your disappointment, and just straight up shockers. We're going to talk about all of that. We want to know all of that from you guys, the online corner crew, the in studio corner crew. Now, you know what? Yeah, we got to come up with a name for the on the phone in studio. Yeah, in studio crew. You know what I mean? Because the online folks is already the corner crew, led by Mama Betty. You know what I mean? Holding it down every week. Thank you so much.
That's right.
So much. You know. But yeah, we're gonna talk all these topics and so much more today on Kale's Corner. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782 is our number. Lady T, you got anything you want to say before we take this quick break?
Nope. I love you all.
There she go. Sierra loving move. Uh-oh. We'll be right back. Hey, hey, staying alive. I don't know why I'm feeling that song so much today, y'all. You know, I'm in my Bee Gees mode. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
all right. Division leaders. We have the AL East with the Yankees, 94-59. And Trees, make sure you call it out if I get any of these wrong, with a .614 winning percentage. We have in the AL Central, the Guardians at 86-67 with a .562 winning percentage. The AL West, the Astros. At 101-53 with .656 winning percentage. The NL East is the Mets with 97-57 with a .630 win percentage. In the NL Central, it's the Cardinals with an 89-65 record with a .578 win percentage. And the NL West, those Dodgers, Therese, you've been talking about them, 106-47. 106-47 with a .695 win percentage. And ladies and gentlemen, the Dodgers have the best winning record in the MLB right now. Who saw that coming? Who saw that? Well, I'm gonna say this. But I was just about to say, I was gonna give you your props. Who saw that coming besides Treece? Because Treece's been screaming about these Dodgers since Lord knows when. Lord knows when. Treece been telling us, watch out for the Dodgers. Watch out for the Dodgers. So, Treece, you're going to have the first word on this. We're going to give you the first word on this because you have been screaming and claiming those Dodgers since I'll say June, July. So
yeah,
go ahead. The floor is yours.
See, the Dodgers, it might be the year. Everybody keeps saying that it's going to be the Yankees and, you know, the Yankees. But remember when 57 was saying, If the Yankees not hitting it out the park, they not doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not hitting it out the park, they not doing nothing at all.
Right.
They not winning no games. They ain't nobody talking about them. Nothing. Right. That's
right.
Not how
right.
the Dodgers are set up. The Dodgers not set up like that. The Dodgers play
okay.
small ball. They play big ball. They play ball. You know what I'm saying? Any lineup that you put in front of them, they destroy you. They are destroying people. I'm talking about they are winning series after series after series after series. And listen, that's not to say that they going to win the World Series, because just because you got a good record in the regular season, that has nothing to do with the world, you know, trying to make it to the World Series. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that, right? Like right now, Mookie Betts, them boys is in stride. They all see out the same pair of glasses. Like they're all looking out the same pair of glasses. They're all doing in sync. They're all in sync. They're all. They don't have no faults over there right now in my eyes.
Mm. Well, you lost me at they play big ball. I would just keep it real.
You know what? You're on my nerves.
You lost me with that. You lost me with that. They play a big ball. Now, you brought his, you brought his name
the
up.
The bigger player.
Let me bring 57 in
on
the 57. They play a big ball.
What's up, family?
Hey,
what's up, family? How y'all doing?
All right.
What's going on?
Hey, don't think I'm gonna comment on that either, Kel. I'm gonna let that go too.
You say they playing big ball.
Yeah, we gonna let that one go.
But when I say small ball or little ball, y'all know what I'm. But y'all get that. But But when I say they're playing big ball, like that mean they balling out of control. Y'all don't want to give me that part. Like, come on, y'all we crazy.
We just gonna leave balls alone for the night, okay?
I'm cool with that. No more balls. I can't with y'all two together. I can't take y'all two as a team.
You know you
like
rarely
right
get this moment.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Well, how do you feel, 57? Tell me how you feel.
The Dodgers have been, like you said, everybody's been looking out of one pair of glasses ever since the beginning of the season. The only hope that a team facing the Dodgers that got to face the Dodgers is most teams throughout the year have a down period. The Dodgers haven't had a down period this year. They've just been on a roll. So if you're playing against them, you hope maybe – When we run up against them, maybe that'll be that spot where their bats are not hitting, their bats are not working, their pitches are not working. Right now, they're hitting on all cylinders. It looks like the only people that can beat them are themselves. The Races, the Mets and the Braves, look out for Cleveland because they are on a roll right now. Going into the playoffs.
Really?
They've clinched their spot.
You're right. They
They've clinched their spot. You know, so look out for them. And like the guy said the other night, any team that got Max Scherzer on in the playoffs, I'm going for them.
Okay.
Right.
You know.
That's true.
Well, you know what, Kale? Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, Kel, and you heard this from me. I'm going to say it again. If we cannot get our bats around to play a combination of out the park and small ball, if we cannot do that, we will not win the World Series this year. And I love the Yankees more than I love the Steelers. So I'm just letting you know.
That's true. Mm. I can vouch for that. Mm. Mm.
On Thursday, we talked about the Yankees with Carlos Stanton's walk-off home run, base clearing walk-off home run, and the guys actually playing a form of small ball leading up to those home runs. And I thought that the Yankees, you know, were finally giving us what we wanted to see as baseball fans. I thought that the Yankees were finally putting it together, really. But like we said in the intro, you know, it for some reason they seem to have gone cold, man. For some reason they're not executing.
Yeah.
They're not executing as they've been doing all season. Now, there's two ways we can look at that, okay? You actually want to see your team at a low point before the nitty-gritty gets started, before you embark as a team into the postseason. So it's really not a bad thing as of yet. It's really not a bad thing as of yet. So you kind of want to see them go into this sort of slump and work their way out of it, and how they work their way out of it. So you can't discount or not count the Yankees as of yet. You just have to give them the time to put this thing together and see what evolves from it. So I'm going to still put my faith in the Yankees, but I agree with you guys. Those Dodgers, boy. Whew. Talk about bad mama jamma. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Talk about bad
mama jamma. They've been a thorn in my side all year. So I'd be glad when this is over.
I kind of understand what you're saying, sis.
If I may say, the team I wish wasn't in the playoffs, are the Houston Astros. I wish they weren't in the playoffs.
Why?
It seems like they all, because they're a gritty team. They are a gritty, fight for to the last team.
Yeah.
And they're never out of any game, you know. And that's the type of team I would love to play for or love to have on the field, you know, for me, but that type of team, the Mets type
right.
of team.
I get it. That team that you're on the edge of your seat with every at bat.
That's whether they're
on the pitching end or the hitting end. You really just tuned in and watching everything going on with them. So I get that. I'm sorry, Trees. Go ahead, sis.
No, I was saying the same thing you were saying. That's why I just fell back because you were saying the same thing I was saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. I got you, Kay.
I love Houston.
I got you,
though.
Bro.
I like Houston, Kale, because I like Houston because of, like you said, the grittiness of it all from them.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking they got hit
mm-hmm.
in the chest with the ball, and he back playing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I just love their grittiness. Not that, you know, to say I want everybody to get hit by a ball. That's not what I'm promoting at all. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely not promoting that. I don't want nobody to think that. But what I'm saying is he actually got hit by the ball. And, you know, I'm just going over what actually happened. He got hit by the ball, and he came back and stayed the game, and he played. And, you know, it was just that gritty, like you were talking about, that grittiness of it all. But
right,
I don't know if their coach got that grittiness of it all with them. You know, like, cause he drops the ball sometimes, and then sometimes he pick it up, and then he run a mile. So I don't know. I don't know. I got to get a dusty mind. I got to get in his mind space. See what he has.
And I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I love Dusty Baker as a manager all during the regular season. He makes all the right calls. He pushes all the right buttons. But it's something about playoff baseball, man. Where Dusty just for whatever reason he falls asleep. He just falls asleep and he doesn't manage with the same enthusiasm that he does during the regular season. I don't know what it is. I cannot put my finger on it, because I'm like you, Tree. I've been trying to figure Dusty out for years.
Yep.
And it's like, Dusty, what are you doing, young? No, put him there. Don't put him there. Dusty, what are you thinking about? No, man, you got to play this dude instead of that.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy, man. It's just crazy.
And it's like he's always
again,
one day late. It's like he's always one day late and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's always one day off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The all-time favorite no-no for me with Dusty is when we played L.A. and lost in that series, and Dusty said, well, what are they going to do moving forward? They burnt this man out, so what are they going to do now moving forward? And I was like, bruh, you're in the playoffs, man. You know, and you're at the last game, you know, you're at the last game before it's all over with, and you're talking about, what are they going to do next? Man, there is no next. There is no next, bro. You gotta play for right now. You gotta play for right now, bro. And that was just like crazy to me because I've never heard a manager lose a series and ask the question, well, what are they going to do next, huh? Nobody cares about next. Nobody cares about next, man. Everybody's only thinking about the fact that this was our last opportunity as a team to win this. You talking about some daggone next. Woo, that thing irritated me. That thing irritated my soul. I mean, I was to bed thinking about that, you know. But and again,
right.
again, I like Dusty Baker. I really look up to the man for his career and everything that he has meant to baseball. Seriously, but that comment, woo, you talking about rubbing you the wrong way? I was like, boy, what?
Yeah,
how can you say that, man? You know. That's crazy. That's crazy. So we're gonna see whether these Dodgers, you know, shock everybody, shock the world. But as Teresa also said, shock no one because she's been expecting this from them Dodgers since day one. You know, so
right.
Hey, you know, let's see if the Dodgers can take it all away. You know. 57, I know you don't want me to, but I'm still going to get my attaboys and go ahead and do the damn thing to the New York Yankees, you know. You know,
I don't think you can hurt us now, Cam.
Yeah, that's all I was saying about that. Let's take another call. What's up, Cap?
What's happening, Cap?
What's up, Cap? What's up, family?
Hey.
What's going on?
What's up, Cap? All right, how y'all doing?
All right.
Everything is great, man. Everything is great. What are you saying about this MLB playoff race, man?
I mean, it's gonna come down to my man Syndergaard. If his arm is right, him and Scherzer, if they can put something together, they're going to make it interesting.
Didn't he strike out nine people last night?
Yeah.
Did he strike out nine people last night, though, sis?
He struck out nine people, but they got two home runs on him.
You know, he got that dead
arm. He'll give up a home run on him.
He get that dead arm, you know, in the playoffs because he goes so hard during the year.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he need to calm down.
Right.
Cap act like he know a little bit about baseball.
Okay, he came right on in. Isn't he 57?
Yeah, he did.
That's my main sport, 57. I tried out for the Phillies in 87.
Oh, really? Oh. Congratulations, bro.
Yeah, baseball's my main thing. Yeah,
I
play
around
some other sports, but baseball is it.
I hear you, bro.
That's why I play softball now. You know, just to hold on to something.
I know that's
really?
Fine.
Cool.
I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you one thing. I ain't even gonna lie to y'all.
First time Cap saw me, Cap say, "Hey man, you still ball, man?" Cap was trying to get me out there. Cap was trying to get me out on that ball court. I said, "I'll go half court." Cap said, "Oh, nah, I'm talking about whole court, man." Nah, bro. Hey, look, I'm talking about the first comment to me.
Hey, what's up, bro?
You ball?
Yeah, I just pulled up to the gym now. I just pulled up to the gym.
Yeah. That's all right. No surprise.
54 in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations,
wow.
Brother.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
gotta
stay active, though. Got to.
Yeah,
true
definitely
that.
Do.
True that.
As soon as you stop,
true.
That's it.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. When you stop, you walk around and you got on a whole cement suit. So when you start picking it up and getting that boy.
I know that's right.
That can be trouble. But yeah, man.
Did he say a cement suit?
Yes.
Suit, bruh. A whole cement suit, bruh. So, go ahead, man. Don't stop it, Jeff.
I can say that.
See, he made me lose thought, Tree. Oh, this is what I wanted
to say. I'm laughing so hard, me too.
The Astros and the Dodgers are the only teams above 100. Are the only teams above 100.
Yeah.
And we found out that with the Astros, it's their gritty nature that they play with that has them there. What are we accounting the Dodgers 106-47 record to? What is it that's getting the Dodgers over this hump?
Timely hits.
Okay.
For the most part, they've kept their roster healthy for the year. Their pitching has been good all year.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very, very fortunate on top
Team
of being good.
Nobody being hurt, no major injuries. They've been healthy for the most part. You know,
and they got Mookie Blaylock.
Mookie Betts.
And I was about to say that 257. And not only that, they want to win. Like, they were so close last year. Like, they was like right there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So they want it. They want it. Bang.
Let me ask y'all a question then. Let me ask y'all a serious question. If the Dodgers don't take the World Series, Will this be my man Dusty Baker's biggest collapse ever? Will this be?
No.
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 It's too
Dusty
many. It's too many right now. Like when he was with y'all, when Dusty was with y'all, that's when that to me was his biggest loss because he
blew that World Series. He should have been in that World Series.
Exactly, and it wasn't no other teams that was, like, real, real dominant over the fact, mm-hmm. like, the Dodgers is dominant, the Yankees are dominant. Like, it wasn't that dominancy when Dusty Baker was with the Nationals. So, nah.
And you know what?
When he was in the Nationals.
In thought, I can go with you on that. Because the next manager came right in with those Nats
exactly.
and won the World Series. The
yeah.
next manager came with basically, yeah, and the only player that wasn't there was, what's my boy name from Philly that we had?
Rendon?
The older guy, damn, I can't think of his name, man.
What
white dude, tall,
who
work? Work. Jason Work. Yeah, Jason
Work.
Okay.
He was the only
okay.
guy.
Remember,
that
he retired.
Right.
That last year he was there is the. I'm sorry, Kay. I didn't mean to cut across.
Great.
I was going to say, with Work. That's the year we should have won. When I say we, I like the Nationals, too, after the Yankees. That's the year the Nationals should have won. Dusty out-coached – well, not out-coached, but got out-coached and didn't make it to the World Series. But they were supposed mm-hmm. to be there, and they lost the championship game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, hey, like we say, you know – you guys say that Nationals loss was a big would be a big loss of his career. I don't know. I'm looking at the Dodgers team, you know, and for the effort and the way that they're playing, it's like, okay, you know, Dusty, what are you going to bring to the table here, you know,
right.
how are you going to manage this team towards a championship? You know, what are you going to do here, man? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's really going to it's going to be on Dusty's shoulders here, man. If this Dodgers team doesn't have a successful season, and a successful season is not just getting to the World Series, but actually winning. Actually winning it, you know. I feel that some words are going to be kicked around about Dusty Baker as a manager. And that's just my opinion.
He's Houston. He's not with the Dodgers.
Oh, he's with Houston.
Yeah, I was saying he's with Houston.
Yeah, he's with Houston.
Okay. Great. Well. Even with
he can't mess the Dodgers up there, huh?
The Dodgers dodged a bullet. You know what I mean? The Dodgers have dodged a bullet. But Houston, nah. We're going to make them say,
okay.
So, hey. And that
the thing about Houston, though,
that would be his greatest accomplishment, if you ask me, to have a team in this playoff season and playing the way that the Astros are playing, like Tree said, every bat, small ball, long ball, whatever it takes, these guys are willing to do it and are doing it. So that would be a feather in his hat for real.
If he manages his pitching correctly, Dusty will be fine. He leaves his pitchers in the game too long. The rest of the team, them guys are veterans. They know how to – that's the one team I look at as everybody knows how to play the game. And they play well together.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
True that. And that's one thing that we know for sure makes a winner. Everybody playing together. Everybody getting this goal accomplished as one. And so far we see the Dodgers and the Astros being the only two teams over 100 victory-wise have seemed to work it out where they're playing together. So,
stellar defense.
Get ready for some good baseball, y'all.
Yes, it is.
I said stellar defense because defense wins championships, especially in baseball.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
In everything.
Defense and great pitching.
Defense wins everything.
Every sport.
If you don't play defense, you are going to lose.
But it's so highlighted in baseball. It's highlighted in baseball because it has one little ball. As Bill Buckner.
Yes.
One little ball can escape you. Man,
all too often. That's why even in the first inning, even in the eighth inning, if it's like a 1-2 game and I'm playing, it's my team up two, and it's like the bottom of, or top of the eighth, I am nervous.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. My sister is still nervous over here because one swing will change this game.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm nervous. I be sitting on pins and needles. I got my medication for my high blood pressure sitting on the side just in case sister, you know, feel a little lightheaded. I go and take my medicine so I can get in my zone. Because them three little outs is a woo. I ain't even
gonna lie to you. Man. This is how baseball go. You got two outs. The ball hit to a guy. He should have made the play, but he didn't make it. You're like, dang, this is the third out. Guess what that next guy going to do? The next guy, home run or knock the ball in the gap. Yep.
Just like that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Since I got Tracy and Cap on the phone, what do y'all think about... huh? I'm sorry, sis. My bad. Since we got Lady T and Cap on the phone, you know, next year we won't. They won't be able to do the shift anymore. You know, that's going to be out. So we're going to be back to, like, pure baseball on the infield. Yes.
Pure baseball.
Yes.
I wonder
what y'all think.
I love it.
I kind of like it. Me too.
Yeah,
I like it.
I was getting ready to say, I don't know if I want to like it or I just love it.
I love it.
What we're going to see with this change, a more athletic infield. From the shortstop to the second base, these guys are going to be more athletic than they've ever been. And more athletic plays will be made because if you can't shift due to a hitter's stats, then there's a quadrant that you have to play within until that ball is hit. So once that ball is hit, that shortstop, that first, that second baseman is going to have to do everything in his power to stop that ball, and also pitcher, because now you're going to have pitchers who can get down the line and cover first base. If that first baseman has to go off of that base to try to stop a ball, that pitcher has to be there for that ball being thrown back to him. So now, in the past, we look at pitchers and we say, oh, he's not that athletic. He won't be able to get over there. It's going to cause more athletic players, call for more athletic players than we've seen in baseball in a while.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what this is like? Taking the zone. This is like taking that zone out of basketball. Like man to man, man up. Let's go.
Exactly. Perfect example.
Yep.
This is gonna be interesting, y'all. I can't wait.
All right, y'all, that's MLB, y'all. Yeah, we're gonna take a quick one. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782. When we come back, we're gonna go into the NBA, man. We're gonna go into the NBA for a minute.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
I'd like to welcome to the stage. The lyrically acclaimed.
Woo!
I like this young man because when he came out with the phrase, he went from ashy to clay.
All right.
I like that.
All right.
So everybody in the house, give a warm round of applause for the Notorious B.I.G. The Notorious B.I.G., ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him, y'all. A nigga never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had to pay a lease. Besides that, the pinstripes in the gray.
Uh-huh.
The one I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays. While niggas flirt, I'm throwing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You wanna see the inside? I see you later. Here come the drama. Oh, that's that nigga with the fake.
Wow.
Why you punch me in my face?
Stay in your place. That's my jump. That is my jump. The top 10 NBA centers go as follows. Number one is Jokic. If you can believe that, you can grasp that. Nikola Jokic. Number two, Joel Embiid. Number three, Bam Adebayo. Number four, Rudy Gobert. Number five, Kristaps Porzingis. Number six, DeAndre Ayton. Number seven, Jared Allen. Number eight, Wendell Carreller Jr. I know I said his name, y'all. Forgive me. I know I said his name wrong. Number nine, Nikola Vucevic, or whatever. Nikola Vucevic.
Valanciunas.
And number 10.
Valanciunas. Violin
tennis. Right, right. And number 10, Christian Wood. Any surprises there for any of you guys? Any surprises there?
I didn't know we had 10 centers in the NBA.
But wait a minute, you said these are top ten centers?
Yeah, according to the NBA. These are NBA personal rankings. And I'm like you, 57, I didn't even know we had 10 actual centers in the NBA, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't consider Bam Adebayo. I didn't consider him as a center. Jared, yeah, I know he is, but you really consider him more of a flat
power forward.
You don't really see him as a center, you know. Kristaps Porzingis, you can see size wise, yes, he's a center, but he doesn't play as a center, you know.
Right.
Kristaps is shooting threes and playing the perimeter game. He's rarely down in the paint. So, you know, it was just crazy to me, some of these names on this list. Let's go to Darius. D, you better tell me something about this. I better not hear no man. I don't really know.
What's up, D?
I don't want to hear none of that. What's up, D?
How everybody doing?
What's up,
nephew?
Yeah, we good, bro. We good, D.
The list you just named off, I don't think that list is accurate at all. Did you even say the Big Cat? I don't even think you said Big Cat.
No.
Well, hey, take it up with the NBA. These are there.
Do you really consider him a center?
He is a center. He plays center. You ain't say Jared Allen.
He said Jared Allen.
Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Number seven.
I don't think that list is that list iffy, in my opinion.
Well, this is the list that they
But they had Carl
this
Anthony
is what
Towns
the NBA
on
has
it.
Arrived
they had,
to.
They have Joker, Gobert, Embiid, DeAndre Ayton. See, y'all got it mixed up because Kale wasn't pronouncing the names right, so maybe y'all didn't hear it right.
Okay,
DeAndre Ayton.
Joker number one. Joel Embiid number two. Bam Adebayo number three. Rudy Gobert is four. Kristaps Porzingis five. DeAndre Ayton at six. Jared Allen at seven. Wendell, what was his name again, fellas?
I got Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, Wendell Carter Jr. at eight. Nikola is number nine, and Christian Wood is number 10.
That's according to the
NBA.
Is horrible. Yeah, that list is horrible.
Centers in the NBA 2022, right, to 2023, it says Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert, Joel Embiid, DeAndre Ayton, Carl Anthony Towns, Nikola Vucevic, Bam Adebayo, Jared Allen, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Wendell Carter Jr.
Now, see, power forwards, they got Giannis at number one. They got Giannis at number one in the power forward, and Carl Anthony Towns at number three with the power forwards. They don't have Giannis listed as a center, and they don't have Carl Anthony Towns listed as a center. Both of these guys are listed as power forwards.
It all depends on who put it out there to, and what site you're getting it from too.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but to me, a guy that I don't know. I don't know. People have their own thoughts on what a center is, and today's center is not the equivalent and the attributes of yesterday's centers, like most of us know. So I can understand how they wouldn't have Giannis Antetokounmpo on that center's list, but I look at the things he does, and it makes me say, he's a center. He's a center. Yeah, I know every now and then he'll try that three-pointer or try that perimeter shot, but for the most part, he's a center. He's playing a role as a center. So, I mean, the league is crazy that way. And since we're going into it, go ahead.
My bad.
I only see. I'm sorry.
My bad. To have Wendell Carter Jr. on, I don't care if you're saying powerful or center, as a top 10 player, that's a horrible list. That list is bad. Throw that list away.
Number eight.
Because I can. I'll
tell you what.
Him over a guy like. No, I'm just saying, how would you put him over a guy like Valanciunas? Or. It's a bonus. You know, it's so many guys. Quint Capella, he ain't better than none of those guys.
Sabonis is on the power forward list. Sabonis is on the power forward list. He's not on. You know what? We're dipping and dabbing into it. Let me break this list down. For the top 10 power forwards, they have Giannis Antetokounmpo at number one, Zion Williamson at number two, Carl Anthony Towns at number three, Evan Mobley at number four, Anthony Davis, number five, Paolo Banchero at number six, Pascal Siakam at number seven, Draymond Green, number eight, Domantas Sabonis at number nine, and Julius Randle at number 10.
Okay.
Now, I know their argument with that list because Giannis Antetokounmpo and Carl Anthony Towns have been thrown in to the top 10 centers list. So we can't agree with this power forward list either.
Right. So, but I agree. How you going to throw Anthony Davis in there? Like, even though he won a championship, he's still not top 10 right now.
How you going to throw Zion Williamson in there? He hasn't even played
in 2 years. Well, 14
months.
He did play, he dominated.
Facts.
On another level. He dominated.
That's facts. He did.
Zion Williams. When he was playing, he dominated. It wasn't,
He coming up off the shoes.
Yeah, he is a top 10. I don't know if he's that high on the list, but he is a top 10 power forward right now. He is that.
He'll have to go at number 10 because we haven't seen him, but he is good.
That makes this list a popularity list. It's not a list of what they're doing. It's not a list of what they're doing. It's a popularity thing. Because Anthony Davis missed half the season last year with the Lakers. But he's number five on your list. Zion Wilson at number two. If you're giving him the number two ranking, then you're giving him number two off of past performances. You're not giving it to him off of what he's doing right now. And to me, that's one thing that makes the list bogus. It makes it look bogus because you're choosing players off of popularity instead of activity and what they're actually doing. And that's not right. That's not right at all, you know. It's not right at all.
If I can say this, out of that centers list, the only two guys I see that going back to old school, what I should consider a center, is what's his name, Rudy Gobert, and the dude for Phoenix, Aiden. Them the only two guys I see that will play with their backer to the basket. The rest of them shooting three-pointers, I consider them forward centers, not centers.
I mean, and he played with his back to the basket also. He fades. B actually got post moves. He wrapping around you, dunking.
But he wants to go outside more, though, nephew. He wants that ball outside. He don't want to mix it up in the middle. I like a center that wants to mix it up in the middle.
See, he'll get the ball on the outside because he's that big, and he know he's quicker than a lot of these centers. So if he get the ball and he could drive also, he don't have to get it down there. He could drive and blow past a lot of these. And that's what he do. He blow past a lot of these centers. Him, Bam, them two, they blow past a lot of guys and get buckets.
Yeah. But let me ask you this.
Right.
Don't you think he would score 10 more points a game if he also played with his back against the basket? If he played down low, getting the fouls that Shaq always talk about, you know, getting those fouls and going to the basket. I mean, going to the foul line.
He does, though. He does. And B does.
Yeah,
that.
To me, he does.
I'll give him his
props.
He does that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he does it as much as we want. I don't think he does it as much as we think he could. But he will play with his back to the basket. He will to play it down from time to time. You know? So... I don't know.
I mean, even Joker, he played with his back to the basket all game. That's all he did. Anytime he hit the ball, he turned his back to the guys making passes, or he's taking that fade. That's all he do. Or he just throwing the ball up, and it's going. I don't know how he really.
I'm serious, man.
I just don't like the big guys shooting threes all the time. I just don't like that. I like you to be down in the middle, blocking everything that's coming in. It's nobody doing like the basics, like an Aja Wilson in the paint. Nobody is down there making sure that ain't nobody slipping in, and you know no free throw or no 15 footer. You know Aja was cleaning up the whole middle. She had that whole middle worked out with one leg. You know that one leg was moving around. She wasn't playing. I want our men to play like that.
See, this is where
it used to be a time when you got to the fourth quarter, your center done wore everybody down because they've been trying to hold on to him on the inside. By the fourth quarter come, everybody tired, and he's just taking over the game. It's not like that anymore. And we got to get used to the new game now.
They bought in this thing called analytics. Right, so they saying you might as well. It's right now they taking away that mid range. They saying to either take that 3-point shot or dunk or lay the ball up. That's it. That's all they want. Either no taking those long twos and that don't matter no more. The analytics then killed the game for that, you know, and that aspect. So now what they doing is space the floor out. And if you got so many ISO players, they letting these ISO players be able to like how James Harden do up top ISO. It's no center sitting in that paint no more because your center can shoot. Now that paint is wide open. Now they got lanes to drive. The game's been changed. That's all. It's just involved.
Facts.
That's all.
All facts. All facts.
True.
All facts. They went European.
So sad.
The game went European.
Yep.
Yep.
Low
hammer. So I guess that what's that park? Rucker Park in New York. I guess that style of play
changed
too much.
Oh yeah.
That style of play has just become too much to handle or be accepted because
I loved
the day when the old school centers would like 57 just said, beat the hell out of these players, beat them so bad that come the fourth quarter, these dudes ain't want no part at all of what was to come. Serious. And I loved that. I enjoyed that game because it was more of a big man playing big man position. Play with your back to the basket. get people on, in that post, man, and beat them down in that post area. You know, that that dudes know you playing against a man. You playing against a man here. So yeah, we need you to bring that A game or go on home, little boy. You know what I'm saying?
Fact.
I miss those days. I miss those days.
And B.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, and B would average 40 if he played in the paint.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Going to go to the free throw line at least 10 times a game.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
At least.
They ain't made nobody big enough. They ain't made nobody big enough to get in his way.
Yeah.
Zion be back this year. And he got McCullum with him.
Now,
he bringing McCullum with him.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you really see Giannis as a power forward and not a center?
No, not a center.
Yeah, because they have Giannis number one on the power forwards list. And I think he should be over on the center's list. And maybe Bam Adebayo needs to be on that power forward list instead of the center. That's just my opinion. What do you guys think?
I think they got the whole list all mixed up. Somebody did that list in the dark.
Yeah,
I mean, Bam been playing center since he came in the league, though. And Giannis, you got to understand, Giannis been playing. Actually, was a small forward when he got drafted. That's how skinny he was. You can't blame it because he bulked up this big and got this strong that he should switch positions. He did switch positions. He went from small forward to power forward.
To power forward. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't judge him because he then bulked up this big and now you feel like he should go all the way to the center spot. Don't get me wrong. He can play defended, but he came in as a small, as a he was as bony as Kevin Durant.
What you're saying is, when he came in, he had the body of a boy. Now he has a man body, and we still want him to play that boy's position.
Exactly.
You don't think he's an advantage at the center position? I think he's an advantage at the center position, man. Seriously,
you can look at it this way. You got a guy like Draymond Green, 6'6" power forward. You got a Giannis that's 6'11" power forward. When Giannis playing downhill against a guy like that, it's a lot of these guys that's 6'5", P.J. Tucker, 6'5", power forward. Why would I move my biggest, strongest guy to the center and make him go against some 7-footers? No. Dogs them 6'5 guys. Dogs them 6'8 guys. This is my advantage. Just because you want him to go play, no, I'm going to use him as my advantage. I'm going to keep Brook Lopez down there. Brook, you bang with the big guys. You take that work. And I'm going to come through with the 6'11 frame I am, and I'm going to do every spin move on these guys, and they can't stop it. I'm too big, too strong.
Yeah. Because he handled the ball like a point guard.
Yeah. And I don't think Giannis could go a whole game playing at the center position anyway, even though he has bulked up some. And I just remember what Nephew just said. When he came in the league, he was very skinny. He was small, and he grew a few more inches, too. Yeah.
Man, he's bigger than everybody.
Right. Bama had some milk. Bama drunk his milk.
He needs some milk.
All I know is this. Shaq and Kobe would eat this NBA up.
Alive.
We ain't going to go there.
Alive.
I can't go there.
I'm just going to say, I know you ain't.
We be tomorrow still talking about it. So I'm with you, but we be tomorrow still talking about it.
Iverson with no hand checking, Iverson would eat this league up. With no
hand
checking.
My man, hey Cap, you know what? I don't care if you do like the Ravens, man. You my
you
man.
Know what?
You just missed Allen Iverson.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We should spend one day just going, taking it back to the old school. That's what we should do.
Hey, you know what? Watching today's NBA, you have an affection or an affinity for old school basketball.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Things that we're used to and wanting to see, it's just not happening. It's just not going on anymore. So it's like Darius just said, Embiid, get down in that paint, yeah. Get down in that paint, yeah. Bang bodies with these dudes,
man.
Man,
40 a night.
Embiid is not a bad free throw shooter. He's not a bad free throw shooter.
He got bad knees, though, y'all. He don't want to be down there. He got bad knees. He got bad knees. He's trying to be light as he can on them knees.
Well,
so
you know
he
what
really
this?
Don't want to be down there in that paint like that. He really don't want that. You know what I'm saying? He really wants.
Seems like if he got bad knees, he wouldn't want to run the ball like that up and down the court. His current frame up and down the court like that is added to that knee pressure.
Yes, exactly.
Pounding,
yeah,
every step,
yeah.
Just pounding.
Exactly,
you
know,
that makes
a lot
of sense.
Yeah,
that's what
he
needs.
He
needs to get in some good shape.
I mean, he balled out.
Nice.
He got robbed.
He still gonna eat a burger before the game.
Dang, man.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
all that
though, eat a burger, man. I'm
going to
be cranked up. I'm looking for the new bathroom.
Oh, my goodness.
My God.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782. We'll be right back, y'all. Everybody have a burger before the day.
The treehouse on a roll today, bro.
You should have said it like, Lady T, pick him right here. That's That's all.
Oh, let me back up. Lady T, pick them right here.
There
like
you
that?
Go. My work is done.
That was corny.
He ain't got to
my
send
work
me for one
done.
Time, bro. Who said that was corny?
You know.
Wasn't me.
You know.
Wasn't me. I was just repeating something I heard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So, listen, y'all. We're going to do these Lady T's pick-ems, right? But I want everybody to start studying, okay? Let me just say that.
Oh,
okay?
Lord have mercy.
No, I'm
oh,
saying that
man.
Because everybody did terrible. Everybody. Mm. All right, here we go. I ain't going to hold y'all. I ain't gonna, like the kids say, I ain't going to hold y'all. I ain't going to hold y'all. Five. We're going to start with five, y'all. Look at that. Five. Five. Pick. I love y'all. Somebody mute their phone. I got five picks. We're going to start with the five picks. And that goes to my ladies, Betty and Reese. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to do better than five picks. Okay? I love y'all. Now, six picks. We're going to go ahead and say, Cat.
Mm.
What happened, Cat? What happened? We're going to talk about it, though. We're going to talk
a lot of upsets this week.
Yeah, it was. Mm. It was. So coming right behind Cap, we got 007 with seven picks. He was the only one that had seven picks. Now, if y'all still ain't heard your name, you are still in the winning, baby. Okay? Let's make it happen. Nine picks. This is what I'm talking about. Nine picks. We got 57, Tane, and Kale. If y'all ain't heard y'all name yet, you must
you
be
know
the
what,
winner.
Man.
You must be the winner.
You know what?
Lady, she I got 10 picks. Is this girl two times in a row? Let me see. Let me make sure I got 10. Let me count them again. Let me count them again. Hold on, y'all. Let me make sure. I picked the Browns, the Dolphins, the Titans, the Panthers, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Rams, the Packers, the Falcons, and the Cowboys. That's 10. Yes. Lady T won again. Okay.
Hey, you know what? You know what?
Listen to what I'm going to say
what?
Again.
You know Woo. What? I demand
I'm so
retort.
Tired of winning.
I, demand,
I might not even play
I demand. I demand a recount. Because
oh.
I wrote all mine. Wait a minute. I wrote all mine down. And I circle everyone that I said was going to be a winner.
Okay.
The Browns, the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
the Saints,
mm-hmm.
the Vikings.
The Saints
did
win, sir.
I had that, and that's marked off. That's marked off.
Oh.
I had the Chiefs.
Okay.
And I went in against the Colts. I lost that one. I won
yes,
the Chargers. I won the Packers. I won the Broncos.
Chargers
I won the
lost.
Ravens. The Chargers lost.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
That is the X. That is the X. You're absolutely right.
Count that one more time.
But one, two,
let me,
three.
Let me do the recount, sir.
Four.
You got the Browns.
Five, six,
you got the Bengals.
Seven,
you have the Ravens.
Eight, nine,
you have
ten.
The Vikings, you have the Bears, you have the Rams, the Packers, the Falcons, and the Broncos, sir. That's nine.
Mm.
Yeah.
Doom, doom, doom.
Play my song again, sir.
Doom, doom, doom.
And you white boy, you're talking about how many she got. Five. Ma'am. So are you still counting, sir?
Yes, I am, ma'am.
Oh,
go ahead. Go,
okay.
Go, though. What are you holding the show up for? Go.
Remember,
oh,
we went to public school.
I'm not going to hold the show up. I'm just going to look, you know, go ahead and let you go ahead and count those. And so, you guys, listen. I know how to count. My co-host is a little salty right now, but it's going to be all right. He loves what he do. That's why he's so mad. Like, he's mad at himself for, you know, picking what he picked.
Everybody is going to gather their thoughts.
We're going to take a quick break. 563-999-3782, you guys. We'll be right back. Thanks for playing.
You'll be my power winner.
Get down with the party. Hey, I'm the big kahuna. Hey,
what they be saying in that podcast? What they say? And that's what they say?
Shut the hell up, Tree. Chargers head coach Brandon Staley clarified his choice to play Justin Herbert the whole game in a loss with Justin having an injury. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. As much as Justin means franchise and the top player that he is, and let's not get it mistaken. The Chargers really haven't had a quarterback in a while here. In a while. And you got a guy who has proven to be a franchise guy, and you're leaving him in with an injury in a loss. Help me understand.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that sees something wrong there with that picture? You know,
no, because you know what I told
that.
You, Kim. No, you know what I told you. It's that, you know, every team got either two or three quarterbacks. Play them.
Right.
If your quarterback is having a bad day, play him. Like you just said, he was hurt. Next man up. Like I do with my team. Next man up. That's all. It's just the next man up. Come on. What we doing? I'm not going to get the $20 million man hurt. Like, come on. Let's do the next man up and keep it pushing. I'm not going to win this game. It's not going to happen. Not even going to come back.
Yeah. I'm of the mindset. If time to heal is what this young man needs. Give him his time to heal, and especially in a loss. What do you stand the gain from playing him in a loss? To see how tough he is. You know, you know his toughness when you draft him, right?
Right. Right.
So why keep that young man out there on that playing field with a rib injury? A rib injury. And let's think about that quarterback position for a minute, okay? Quarterbacks are more susceptible to rib injuries than other players because quarterbacks get hit with their ribs exposed more than anyone else on that field. So why would you have a guy who's already injured in that area take the chance and playing out there? It's mind-boggling to me, you know.
Ludicrous.
Maybe I'm the only one. Ludicrous.
Can we flip it around and say, as a player, why would you allow a coach to put you back out on the field knowing that you're hurt and you have the possibility of ruining yourself for the rest of your career, which a lot of players have done on both, you know, with both people making decisions. A lot of these players are so afraid that they might not get back out on the field that they're willing to go out there and play in pain and take a shot for this right here. So they got to be held accountable too.
Absolutely.
Well,
but you already know the
That's why it's the coach's responsibility. We've heard millions and millions of times that the coach saves the player from himself, because we know every player wants to go out and play. Every player feels like, the heck with this injury.
The pressure's on the player, though.
Well, really, can we really say serious pressure is on Justin Herbert in at the Chargers?
Listen, what
can
I'm saying.
Can we really say
that the NFL? That's why so many lawsuits, because the pressure has always been play. If you're not dead, if you can walk, you can tap it up, you can tape it up, and get on out there. You don't want your teammates ever to say, "Oh man, he's soft." So they want to play the tough guy role and get out there and force himself and hurt himself. But that's been like an unwritten rule. You get out there and play.
So this is my theory, and it's just that my theory. Okay, so we at work, right? And I'm having a bad day managing the team. My supervisor come over to me and say, "What are you doing? You've been messing up all morning. Well, just go home. Go home for the day and come back tomorrow with a better attitude." Right? Now, that was me, my personal, that's what happened to me, right? So I was sent home because I was having a bad day. But that didn't do anything to my character, saying that I can't come back the next day or the next week and have a better week than I did last week. There's nothing wrong with sitting a person down. That's what I'm trying to understand. Why is it so taboo to sit the quarterback down and let somebody else come in? Because, prime example, Wentz was having – I mean, I'm going there, Kel, but Wentz was having a bad day, right? So I'm saying, if he's having a bad day, why we can't take him out, sit him, put Heineke in, or whoever y'all got next, put that person in and let him see if we can spark something or – something may happen. I don't know. He may win the game. He may come back and win the game. And then the next week, we give it back to Wentz and say, "Let me see what you can you do better than that?
Right.
Can you do better this week?" You know what I mean? Like, why is it so taboo? I really want to know that, because I'm paying these three guys and two of them sitting on the bench just getting free money, basically. Just getting free money, because it's taboo to play all three of them.
That's what a backup basically does. That's what a backup basically does.
No,
he sits
I'm
on the bench until his time comes to get into the game. And if the time doesn't come, he doesn't get in the game. If it's a guy he's supposed to go in there and back up, never comes out the game or never gets hurt, he's still sitting on the bench getting money, and he ain't doing anything but practicing. That's it. You know,
I don't disagree with
Kale, but I just feel like that the onus for this should go on both parties and not just the managers, because some managers are not strong enough to say, "Hey, Tom Brady, you're hurt. You can't go back in the game. I'm going to put this guy in here." That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Let's get an opinion. on Wentz and everything Washington from a hot rod with this Washington football team. My man, Reb T. Come on, Reb.
Hey, Reb T. Long time.
Did you just call me a hot rod? What the hell, a hot rod?
Hot rod, man.
A hot rod. Well, how y'all doing? Let me just answer this question, right, that you was asking about why they ain't sent Wentz down. $28 million is why they ain't going to sit Wentz down. I don't care. Listen here. Heineke and Howell, they going to eat what they call Davidson front sunflower seeds all day long and hold a clipboard. But for $28 million, the only way you going to see Carson Wentz come off that football field if he exited the way Fitzpatrick left, if he exited the way Alex Smith left. But anything other than that, he can stick up the joint. But for $28 million, they going to play him all 18 games. I don't care what he does, what he do, what he don't do, what he can do. They're going to play him because they're paying him $28 million. And when you really come down to it, yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, so listen. Y'all are the team that y'all give out money freely. So even though they gave him $28 million, he's not the better choice to win the game. You understand what I'm saying? So why not put the better product?
I understand that. I heard everything you said, but did you understand what I said? For $28 million, they're going to play him to the bone till you see the white meat on him. plain and simple. Everything you saying, I understand where you trying to go with it. But what I'm going to tell you is they're going to play him till they see the white mean on his bones.
I got you.
He can be bleeding, run to the sideline, and they gonna say let us look at it. If they don't see the white meat on this bone, they gonna send them on back in. Ain't no gotta go here. They gave old Mr. Water Slide what $18 million, $10 million or whatever. Yeah, you see how that panned out for him, right? They're going to get every little bit they can get out of Carson Wentz. But now when it all comes down to it, though, I'm going to give the defense a C because the defense kept them in the game for the most part. But then after a while, we've seen this scenario before when it comes to the Washington football team or Commanders or Red or whatever the hell you want to call them, right? Even with the offense be on and the defense be off. Either the defense be on or the offense get – we done seen this scenario before. So when you had these people after week one talking about, oh, what we going to name the wide receivers, they should call them the Smurfs or the Posse or whatever. No.
Not the Smurfs.
When you got people running around here tomorrow, call the offensive line Hog 2.0. No, that's for personal gain and self benefit. When a team running around here trying to sell you the mascot as the piglet, no. I'd rather be the dog. I'm just saying. I mean, so at the end of the day, I don't want to leave, but I think I got to go right now. But the Commanders, though, what they need right now, though, you ready for this, DMVK? Y'all ready for this?
Let's go.
Lord, help them, Lord. Lord, save them and deliver them from the bondage that they get. Because when I go down to Dallas this week, I want to get funky like a monkey. And when I say get funky like a monkey, I'm going to be drinking Hennessy. I'm going to find me some Dallas smoke. I'm going to party with a wide band. I'm just going to do a whole lot. And then if I feel too right, I just might start barking. Y'all know who this is. The people Hype Man at DC Hype Man, Ramsey.
I love it.
Boy, that was it.
Tank is crazy. Tank crazy.
This nigga crazy.
I love it.
Once every 3 months, man. Once every 3 months.
Red tea, that was red tea, man.
My father said, Betty said, play him till the wheels run off.
Till the wheels fall off.
That man was going to play until you see the white meat.
I'm going to be crying, y'all, online. I am crying. Like real tears. I am crying.
Hey.
The whole time he's talking, I'm saying, this guy sounds like Fred Smoot. That's what I kept saying.
that's the incomparable Rev too, man. You know.
Rev
gonna give you what you get every time. You know.
Oh my God, man.
Rev, that was worth the price right there. Rev T has called me 2-3 in the morning talking that same way, and I'm looking at my phone like, what the hell, dude? Go to sleep, man. You know what I mean? He's like, tell what I feel, DMV. Tell it. Oh man, come on, y'all.
Oh my God, I am crying over here.
And let me tell you, besides the $28 million, you don't want to start juggling your players. You don't want to start juggling your starting quarterback, and because
you saw everything else.
I've always looked at coaches who do that, you know, from college all the way down, because we don't really see it in the pros too much. Some of these college coaches, they'll have a set of plays for this player and a set of plays for that player, and that throws the rhythm of the player off. That throws that quarterback's rhythm off. So you don't want to get into a situation where you're pulling guys constantly and putting other guys in, because, I mean, the whole team's rhythm is off. Now, what I will say, I believe that team, the offensive line, the running backs, and the wide receivers on the offensive side of the ball, I do believe that that team will play harder for Heineke than they're playing for Wentz, because a lot of guys believe in Heineke for the work that he's already done. And a true sign, guys, nine times Wentz was sacked. I'll put three of those times on that offensive line. The other six, that was all Carson Wentz. That was all Carson Wentz. Dropping back, seven-step drops, holding the ball, patting the ball. It was all on Carson Wentz. Not reestablishing the pocket, none of that. But everything that we've seen from Taylor Heineke, everything that we've seen from him. And I'll be the first to admit, as a Washington football fan, this organization has done Heineke dirtball wrong. Because season after season, you guys have gone and flashed what you call the next best thing in our face, and Heineke always ends up coming in, saving the season, making it sort of respectable. Give that man the opportunity to do his job and as a leader. Now, I don't know what they're seeing in practice, but game day, what we're seeing, that man is more than suited to do that job as a Washington starting quarterback. That's just my opinion.
Can I say something on that? Is it okay?
But wait a minute, 57. But that's what I was saying about Wentz was having a bad day, right? So he was having a bad game. Why not take him out, put Heineke in?
We already went to that, baby.
And it'll be
over.
Go ahead, 57.
Oh, well, all I was going to say is that most times when your backup quarterback comes in the game and wins the game, either the coach coached a hell of a game or the backup quarterback was just lucky and had fell into a good situation, because he doesn't even get to practice the plays with the starting team during the week. That's all for the starting quarterback. So what Kel was saying about
the other team wasn't prepared for that backup style of play.
Exactly.
Exactly. Go ahead.
You know, but I wouldn't want to switch up my quarterbacks like that. Maybe some other positions, but I wouldn't want to switch up my quarterback like that. And as far as Heineke being not treated right, this is all I'm going to say, Kalen. I'm not making fun of your team. But do you think if Heineke had been on another team that had a good quarterback, that he would even still be in the league right now?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because Heineke has proven himself time and time again. Time and time again. He's making some the similar plays that some of these starting top-notch quarterbacks are making. He's making them. Now, yes, he's making his mistakes as well. But we've seen mistakes from Brady. We've seen mistakes from Aaron Rodgers. We've seen mistakes from quarterback after quarterback. So that enough to tell me mistakes are part of the game when it comes to quarterback. But you can't just totally neglect this dude and bring somebody else in when this guy has proven time and time again that he's a good quarterback, that he's serviceable.
But that's what Washington do. Washington make problems when there are none. There was nothing wrong with Heineke being there. He won y'all a lot of games. I think he even won a playoff. I mean, won y'all division 1 year. And so what I'm saying is, like, if y'all going to go look for another quarterback, get somebody younger. Don't go get the oldest man in the pool and then bring him back home talking about we got the cream of the crop. You know what I mean? Like, why do that? Y'all make problems when it's no problem there. It was no problem in that position. It was problems everywhere else, but y'all want to focus on where there's no problem.
Well, that must be a league-wide thing, because San Francisco did the same thing. That must be
we
a league-wide thing.
How did we do that? We said we got Trey Lance, and we moved on.
But you didn't need him. You didn't need him. Garoppolo has proven more than enough. Garoppolo, I equal him to Dusty Baker. He gets you there, Sooner or later, he's going to get you over that hump, man. Sooner or later, he's going to get you where you want to be.
So what I'm saying is, even with Garoppolo, they put him out there to say, who won him? Y'all wanted him until he had a surgery, right? Then after when he get the surgery, everybody act like he got leprosy. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, we're going to sign him back if he agreed to whatever it is we giving him. This one-year deal, if you want this deal and be on somebody's roster, this is what we offering. Anybody else offer you something? No? Okay, here you go. He said yes. Right. We said thank you. Sit on the bench. We was very clear about what we was doing and how we was doing it. To the point where he even went on TV and said, thank y'all for being here. I love being here. It wasn't no audience for him when they put him out there. Nobody said, I'll take him. Because if they would have said that, we would not have him right now.
And
that's what I'm saying is the difference. That's the difference.
That is supposed to be conversation. He's supposed to say all those things. When he is still with you guys, what he's going to do? Down talk the organization. What do you think he's going to down talk the organization after they were the only ones, according to you, after they were the only ones who decided to take a chance on him and to keep him? He's supposed to down talk them? No. He's not going to down talk the organization.
He didn't say a word.
Exactly.
These are coming from the commentators like us. These are coming from the commentators, people like you and me. These are not Garoppolo words. These are comments and analyst words.
How can we?
Right?
Okay.
Because they did an interview with him and felt like, you know, they got to bring their own feelings into everything. No, nobody never want to report the facts. Everybody got to bring their feelings into it. They the feeling police. So that's what happened. He didn't come out and say nothing but the goodbye speech and thank you for being here and woo, woo, woo. That's all he said. And guess what? After he said that, nobody reached out to him to say, you can come over here. Come on, sir. We'll take you. Nobody did that. So guess what we did? We reached out back to him and said, I'll give you this little bit of money right here. You take you. Okay, thank you. Sign right here. Now sit over here. That's what we did.
Well, if y'all need a quarterback, we got one for you. Mitchell Trubisky is free. Y'all can have it.
Hey, look, you gonna trade him for a washing machine, yeah?
For a washing machine, bro. Yeah. And wait, look, and one of them old washing machines too. Yeah, bro. One of them where you gotta feed your clothes into the wringer. Man.
Oh, Lord.
I think that Youngin Pickett, I think your league, one thing I will say about the Steelers, Pittsburgh, they don't waste time playing around. They don't play around with you. If they believe as an organization that you're not suffice, that the job you're doing is not one conducive to winning, they will sit your high part down. And then they'll say, well, we got to get this young man out there sometime. Time to go ahead and get him out there. We got to see what he can do. We're going to let him
do what
he can do. You know what I mean?
And I
for one, say that is a good motto, and you can't lose with that. You can't lose with that because you're giving the young man an opportunity to learn on the job and be nothing but better in the future. And this is what I say. Washington last year, we went out and got Fitzmagic. And Fitzpatrick survived a quarter of a game. That's it. And this weekend, you could not tell me Carson Wentz was not still playing for Philly. Because he damn sure looked like he had a something worked out or something in the mix with that Philly team, because he looked as if he was lost out there. He looked as if he was lost out there from like I said, time and time again. You want to take seven-step drops, and these guys are coming up on you right on the corner, and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do, you know? So, you know, I'm not one of the coaches or decision makers for this team, but I will say if I had the opportunity, I would want to see how this team reacts to Heinicke, Taylor Heinicke, being the quarterback. Serious. I want to see how they react to Heinicke being the quarterback, because there's no reaction at all. And then another thing, I was reading Facebook, and this guy said to me, you guys got rid of Herb Flowers, the offensive tackle, saying that he wasn't adequate. And we're looking 3 weeks now at a right tackle who's being pushed, bull rushed, into the lap of Carson Wentz repeatedly. But yet and still, he's a guy from Carolina, and Rivera wants him. Come on, dude. Cut all that affection. Now, you hit on Samuel. You hit him. That doesn't mean you're going to hit on every player that you had at Carolina. It doesn't mean that. It means you struck lightning and put it in the bottle one time. Be thankful for that one time and move the hell on, man. Move the hell on, man. Because Herb Flowers was more than suitable on this offensive line for this Washington football team. He did a better job than the guy that you had playing right tackle now. And I heard Brian Mitchell say something, and I agree with it. Washington got all these guys that, oh, he's good at left tackle, but he also can play right guard or center. We got a team full of guys who play multiple positions. How about getting somebody that specializes in one thing? Somebody mute your phone, whoever that is. Mute your phone, please. How about getting a guy that specializes in one position, a guy that can handle the working of a left tackle or a right guard? But these guys that play these multiple positions, they're letting us down. They're letting us down. Again, with the play of Carson Wentz, I do not want to get away from that or get your mind off of that, because a lot of what we saw this weekend was on the behalf of Carson Wentz. You know?
Everybody check their phones. Just mute their phones. Can't just mute everybody.
Real quick.
So I can listen to what you're saying.
Well, as far as I see it, Kale, Heineke is like Colt McCoy. He can get you to the mountain, but he can't get you up that bad boy.
Okay.
I don't agree because Colt McCoy did nothing near to the output and the activity that Heineke has put forward. Colt McCoy did nothing near, has done nothing near to what we see from Heineke game to game. I'm serious, Colt.
I
was happy about Colt McCoy, especially when he beat Dallas that one year. But we were so caught up on he beat Dallas that we ain't think about Tennessee. We ain't think about New York. We ain't think about the Jets, the Giants. We were so caught up on Dallas. He beat Dallas. So the heck what? So what did he beat Dallas? That's one team. What has he done the rest of the what has he done the rest of the season? Failed epically.
Mm-hmm.
Failed.
No.
So, you know, I think that was a bad analogy. I understand where you're coming from with it, but if you look
I still
at
think
Colt
McCoy is a better quarterback than Heineke is.
Mm.
That's just my feeling. But that's your team. You know better than I do.
Yeah.
You know better than
right.
I do.
Right. I liked Colt McCoy in the beginning, but not in towards the end. I wanted to throw him as far as I can catch him. I wanted to throw him.
They beat him
throw
up.
Him up out of here.
The years he had been here, the Redskins always threw him out there when it was really dire, and he got beat up. But he was a good quarterback.
He was.
Well,
would you have
wanted
Tim
to throw
Tebow
that.
Or him? Who y'all want?
I wanted to throw Tebow.
Oh, Tebow, definitely.
Tebow.
Tebow.
Mitchell Trubisky couldn't even bring me a glass.
That was a travesty all in itself.
Because he was about God.
You can't come into the league and talk about you're going to change the league. You're going to change how they do things. You can be – I mean, it's great that you're a spiritual person, but you come into the NFL and you're one person talking about you're going to change it. And it just rubbed people wrong.
Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer.
Yeah, exactly.
Chip Kelly. We have seen this both from the coaching and a player standpoint. And to be honest, it doesn't matter how good you are and how great you play. It's about play along to get along, bro. It's about you playing along to get along. The NFL, they don't have time for you to come with all these righteous teachers. No,
that's
you
right.
Can be as religious, you can be as religious as you want to be. But we don't have time for your righteous teaching, bro. We don't have time for that. And some people say that's wrong. I say this. It's football. It's football. So I want to talk football. I don't want to talk religion. I don't want to talk. If you want to take a knee and pray before or after the game or after a touchdown, by all means, do your thing. Do your thing.
Right.
But you can't be in a press conference talking God and the Lord and God. That's going to turn a lot of people off. It's going to turn a lot of people off. Even though you're not wrong in what you're saying, it's still going to turn people off. It's still going to turn people off. Now, Tang. Hey, Tang.
Yo.
What's up? Use the phone, bro.
I just did.
Cooper Rush, man. I mean, what?
What's up with Rush?
What's the deal? What's the deal with Cooper Rush, man? 3-0 as a starter. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, man. Last Sunday that just passed, Sean Payton put a lot of faith in me. He said Cooper Rush wasn't going to lose no games until Dak get back, man. So. I believe in that. That man out there, he played with poise. He ain't out there trying to do nothing real fancy. All he doing is just playing football, and he know exactly where to throw that ball to, man. And that's what I hope Dak on the sideline paying attention.
Right,
and I ain't saying he better than Dak. I'm just saying that his accuracy better than Dak. I give him that. I'm just saying Dak need to go out there and stop trying to, you know, try to be too dynamic. You know what I'm saying? Just play ball, man. Move your feet when you're supposed to. Throw that ball where you know it's supposed to be at, because Rush is definitely doing it.
Yeah.
So what do you think about your new coach?
Well, when he come in next year, I'm going to be ready for him.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to be ready for my new coach
when he come in.
The cat is out of the bag on that, man. The cat is out of the bag.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Jerry Jones is a broken toilet. He can't hold nothing. And Jerry done basically said to all of us, this dude last season, man, I'm trying to see what that New Orleans Saints Sean Payton thing do. You know what I'm talking about?
He should have let him go the first time. That's what he shouldn't have did.
Right. All right, y'all. Come on, T.
That note, oh man, I loved it. Coming off the weekend, having this bomb conversation with y'all. Oh my gracious, I love it. Kale and Ms. T would like to thank everyone that supports us here on Kale's Corner. Kale and Ms. T would like to say that we love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow, you guys. Kale and Ms. T, we are here every Tuesday and Thursday between the hours of 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The number here is 563-999-3782. And you guys can follow Kale's Corner on Instagram at Kale's Corner and on Facebook at Kale's Corner. You guys can log into blogtalkradio.com/UKLMcLean and listen to the podcast there also. Listen, guys, we have some birthdays coming up. Kale, we have Kale's sister's birthday coming up. And don't forget to get your William Pierce tickets, you guys. $65 is the entry fee to get in the door. $65, just buy a $65 ticket. I'm going to be up at the front. I see y'all at the front. Kale.
If you love them, they should already know it. Hey, we'll catch y'all Thursday, 5 p.m. I want to thank my man, Rev T, for whatever the hell that was Rev T did. We thank you 100%. I want to thank all our listeners, callers, you know, the online crew. Mama, Betty, hey, girl, how you doing? And we ask you all, please be safe. But we want to talk to y'all and with y'all on Thursday, 5 p.m. We'll be right back at you.
Cubic zirconia.